They closed the trap door. As they flew upward, the bottom of the wag-sized car came into view. It was still stopped.
Hasn't moved.
They're probably searching the van, trying to figure out what happened to the driver.
And their security cams.
Keep low as we pass it.
The crossing of the cars was over in a second. In that second, Ryan saw the other trapdoor swing open, and then they were past. Dam straightened.
Did they see us?
Weren't looking our way. There should be an I-beam up there.
Frillbill pointed high overhead.
Yeah, there it is.
Ryan craned his head back and saw the light at the top of the elevator shaft. A light and the beam beneath, growing rapidly larger and more distinct. The beam was no more than a foot wide, and it spanned 40 feet of shaft wall to wall. Ryan had to step aside or get squashed under it as the car stopped at the top floor.
Get on!
The warlord threw a leg over the beam. As Ryan climbed on, something clanked inside the elevator, and the car dropped away. The four of them sat perched over an abyss. The ceiling was 10 feet above their heads.
Now comes the tricky part.
A communal groan went up as Dr. Huth finished his remarks. The scientist looked over the throng of researchers whom he supervised, a sea of lab coats. Oh, so put upon, he thought. The way they rolled their eyes and let their jaws fall open in horror.
This is asking too much.
Above his beard, Dr. Weishart's face was deeply flushed, the dark eyes full of genuine anger. It seemed even his closest associates, his academic peers, were appalled at his request. Huth opened his arms in a helpless gesture.
If it was up to me, I wouldn't put you through it. I know how tired you all must be.
Does five?
Shouts came from farther back in the crowd.
Five doesn't care!
Not about anything but results!
Huth tried to quiet this uprising from his most skilled and most important workers.
Look, we are on the verge of a great undertaking. We have to follow orders. We have a duty to fulfill. We have to trust five. The building has been sealed. No one will be allowed to leave until we have completed the job.
The protests were even louder.
There are plans in progress that you aren't aware of.
So fill us in.
With what appeared to be great reluctance, the research director of the totality concept proceeded.
I have received information on the most recent developments that none of you are privy to. Because of these developments, it is imperative that we alter the existing schedule.
You'll have to be more forthcoming than that.
As many of you know, we have been running continuous simulations on a duplicate of the satellite's flight control system. A precautionary measure. Unacceptable failures started to show up about an hour ago.
That's not our fault. We pulled both units off the shelf.
That is correct. Omnico built them. No one is blaming you for the problem. But we have to do something about it before the Shadow World satellite goes into orbit. That means we have to beat the scheduled launch.
What you're asking of us is impossible. We need more time to align the power grids and stagger the energy transfers, or we'll end up permanently blacking out half the planet.
Believe me, I understand the danger. You don't have more time. It's as simple as that. This has to be done or we will lose the satellite. The fourth opening of the passageway has been bumped forward by 6 hours. I make that 5:38 a.m.
But, Dr. Huth,
we are wasting precious minutes. Stop your whining and get on with it.
With that, Huth stepped down from the dais and waded through the packed conference room. As he looked from face to face, he grew more and more confident that the decision to go alone and tell no one about it had been correct. He couldn't trust any of them. Not with something as important as this. If he had given the information to a select few, even old colleagues like Weishart, they would have wanted to bring others along, wives, children, lovers. They would have insisted. Perhaps even tried to blackmail him into getting their way. The word was certain to get out, and when that happened, the whole complex would fly into a panic and the situation would no longer be containable. Five would promptly step in and stop him. And that would be that. When he'd really thought about it, about which of his peers deserved to come along, he came to the conclusion that all were unworthy of the gift, so he decided not to share it with any of them. After all, the passageway was his creation. It was only fitting that he be one of the last to use it. There was a possibility, though remote, that Five would get another shot at opening the rift, but by the time that happened, he'd be long gone on the other side. In the same vein of not letting the cat out of the bag, Huth had decided that it would be a bad idea to start Matt transing expensive scientific equipment onto the passageway jump pad, or worse, packing it into an ATV and then materializing that on the pad. That would fall into the area of a dead giveaway. The only instruments he was taking along fit easily into the side pockets of his lab coat, a microcomputer, wafer thin and the size of a playing card, and an equally small electron microscope. He patted his pockets to make sure they were there as he weaved his way through the crowded halls. Out of necessity, he was leaving the bulk of Earth's technology behind. It wasn't such a great tragedy after all. There were advantages to being self-contained. Hoth planned on becoming Shadow World's only philosopher of science, on roaming the pristine landscape, working with his mind, with his skills of observation, as had the earliest practitioners of his art. Like them, he carried in his head the scientific method, a tool powerful enough to attack any problem. Unlike them, he had the 25 theories, which linked all available knowledge. The bulkhead door leading to the jump area was mobbed with scientists. Most of them had nothing better to do than stand around and wring their hands. There were excess scientists, too. Pushing his way through the mass of lab coats, he entered the bulkhead door. He stopped in the middle of the metal catwalk and looked down, watching the army of technicians hard at work. Hundreds of them. From tiers of scaffolds, they serviced the canyon of electronics that enabled the rift to open. He crossed the catwalk and stepped onto the concrete platform. Between the plate above his head and the plate under his feet, the passage would form. And then, it would be time for a fond farewell.
Dr. Huth?
The voice came from behind. He pointedly ignored the interruption.
Dr. Huth?
Irritated, he whirled. The petite brunette took a step back, eyes wide.
This just came back from DNA retyping. You said you wanted to have it as soon as it was processed.
She held up a stoppered glass tube. In it was a single, intensely blue human eye. He took it from her, just to shut her up.
Yes, yes. You can go now.
He slipped the tube into his pocket and immediately forgot about it. Thrill Bill used his flashlight to point out a screened 3x3-foot rectangle set just under the shaft ceiling on the wall opposite.
Where we've got to get is over there.
There was a 20-foot gap between the beam they sat on and the wall, and it was another 8 feet up to the vent.
Tricky is putting it mildly, considering that none of us can fly.
How did you expect us to get across? Even if we didn't have all this fucking gear, there's no way we could jump that far.
I was hoping you'd have some suggestions once we got here.
Nara looked down at the seemingly endless drop and shook her head.
Oh, man.
Ryan swung his leg over the I-beam, straddling it as he pondered the problem.
We could wait until the next car comes up, jump down through the trap, and search the top floor for another way into the vent shaft.
If we did that, we'd alert the security force. They'd seal us in, and we'd never get off the floor alive.
The four of them sat in silence for a long time. Ryan didn't speak up until he had the whole thing figured out, and was pretty sure it would work.
I've got an idea. First thing, let's get rid of that screen.
He unslung his pulse rifle, put the selector switch on sustain, and fired from the hip. The pencil line of green struck the corner of the grate, instantly melting it. Ryan followed the perimeter of the opening, cutting away the metal mesh, which dropped away into the dark. They all held their breath, waiting for it to hit bottom. After 30 seconds, Ryan gave up. He decided either the sound had been so faint that they'd missed it, or the shaft went to the bottom of the earth. Ryan adjusted the blaster's beam to the slowest pulse.
What we need next are some footed handholds. Ooh, I think he's got something.
Ryan took a one-handed aim and began blasting a series of holes in the concrete at the far end of the beam. It took him several tries to figure out how many bursts it took to make a proper niche, one that was deep enough without being too wide. Once he had refined his technique, he started manufacturing